Shlomo Janowski, Parshas Va'era, start your day today in Manchester.
Very good morning, and a good Erev Shabbos. Begin with a short Dvar Halacha, which is very negea, with the makir in the parasha, very practical nakuda. We know that we are supposed to, as Yidden, we have a lot to say. Yidden have a lot to say. We have Kriya Shema, we have brochas, we have davening. There are, if we split it up basically into three stages, the primary stage would be when a person moves their lips without using their throat. You can say the whole of Ashrei. It's called lip service in English. You just use, that's where it comes from. It has no content. I'm sure that's where the expression comes from. To pay lip service means you just say, you're not using your throat at all. Just use your lips. Whereas the next stage is that al pi halacha bepashtus, one is not yotze. One says a bracha, you see people davening long shmoneh esras maybe, moving their lips, but they're not using their throat at all. The throat is an important part of amir. Above that is a level where one actually uses one's throat, but not loud enough that one can hear oneself. That's the second level. And the highest level, well, for now will be the level where one uses one's lips and one's throat, but it's not loud enough that one can actually hear what I'm, where I can actually hear what I'm saying. That's the halach in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Samach Bey, Siv Gimel, Hamispalil, somebody davens, somebody says Kriya Shema, is supposed to be using their throat and raising their voice to a level that one, just oneself, in Kriya Shema it's very important not to disturb others, but that one can hear oneself say the words. If one did use one's throat, but not loud enough to hear, then b'dieved one is yotzer, right? Loshen in the Yerushalmi. And if one did not even use one's throat at all, then kipshutoi, that's not called an amira, one is yotzer. Now what happens, somebody's davening, they're saying Kriya Shema, they're saying a bracha, and they can hear themselves. And then a lorry drives past. So they can't actually hear what they're saying. Or the guy next to him's phone started ringing just then. Or his own phone started ringing. So he's actually, this is a Chazon Ish in Siman Kuf Yud Dalet in Erech Chaim, where the Chazon Ish asks, what's the pshat that one has to hear what one's saying? Is it a halacha, a sibba? You have to hear what you're saying. If you're not listening, if you cannot hear yourself what you are saying, well, that's a chisoron in the dibur, maybe. You're not yetzer. Or maybe, the other way, maybe that there's a halacha of speech. Speech has to be of a certain level. What level is that? That's a level that I can hear what I'm saying. But if there's an exterior factor which drones out, which drowns out the noise, that I can't actually hear what I'm saying, well, I've still spoken on that particular level. And therefore, in that case, one should be yotze. This comes in this week's parasha, in Perek Ches Posuk Ches. After the Tzfardea has wreaked quite an awful amount of damage, and Par is not very excited about this. Vayetze Moshe va'arin mein Par. Moshe and Aaron leave Paroi. Vayitzak Moshe el Hashem al devar hatzvardeim. And Moshe daven to Hashem. Now we know that there are 10 expressions in the Torah of tefillah. There's zo'oko, there's tzo'oko, there's ha'atoro, vayeta yitzchok, etc., etc. The Sifsei Chachomim, now it's not in all Chumashim. It's in the Hamor Chumish. It's a nun with a star, which means it was a ksav yad. is bothered why dafka with the removal of the tzafardea does the posuk use an expression of tzo'oko. Tzo'oko means shouting. You have to shout. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu use an expression of tzo'oko? Answers the Sifsei Chachomim, because the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Aleph, Hamispalel Tzorech Lahashmi'a Lo'oznov. When you daven, you have to hear what you're saying. Now the frogs, the tzfardeh, as we know, made an awful lot of noise. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Zot, the Sifsei Chachomim, had to raise his voice in tefillah to hear himself, because the tzfardeh was making a lot of noise. So we have a Sifsei Chachomim over here in the parasha who says, like the one side of the Chazon Ish, that this is not just a barometer to tell us what is called an amira of a certain decibel level, but this is actually an integral component of what amira is, that one does actually have to hear what one is saying. And otherwise, but the evid one is yotzer, but it's not lechatchila. In Avnei Nezer, there's a discussion. Avnei Nezer, I think, Simkufn on Gimel, a discussion about a balkira on Purim who put earplugs in his ears. Now, one can imagine without too much imagination, not hard to imagine why a balkira on Purim would have wanted to do that, but he did. Now, he laid the Megillah very loud, but he himself couldn't hear what he was saying. Is he yotzer or not? If you say that it's only a simon of what a decibel level of what's called an amira, well, that was loud enough, just because he had earplugs. If you say that it's an lefi the sifsei chachomim, he would not be yoitza. This is a discussion. Further marim mekoyimus can be found in the sefer Chavetzeles Hashorin on this week's parasha. Let's. I'm not probably able to go exactly in the order of the parasha, but a vort, a ha'ora, very applicable for people whose beards start graying, maybe. Perek Zayin, Posuk Zayin. U'Moshe ben Shmoinim Shono va'Aaron ben Sholosh u'Shmoinim Shono b'Dabrom el Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Paro. And Reb Zalman Sarovskin in Oznaim LaTorah is very bothered. We have ages in the Torah normally to guide us in the chronological order of events. But this expression in the Torah, Moshe was 80 and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Paro. Who cares how old they were when they spoke to Paro? Zogt Reb Zalman Sarovskin in his very, very typically practical style, that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, in fact, but particularly Moshe Rabbeinu, had a very active number of decades before this. The Torah doesn't tell us very much about it, but the Midrashim tell us Moshe Rabbeinu was a king and he fought battles and he conquered countries. There was a lot of activity. And then the world at large uses an expression of retirement years. Retirement years means when a person tells himself, or his wife tells him, you know, you've done enough work and now you're entitled to just fuff around the house in your slippers and waste weeks of your life on cruises in the Caribbean. And the Pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old and Aaron HaKohen was 83 years old. And this is when life started. Everything that we know about Moshe Rabbeinu only became Moshe Rabbeinu at the age of 80, from 80. That's when life really kicked in, which is of course extremely practical for those, the Zevulans of Klal Yisrael, the Bnei Parnosa, and who reach a stage of life when they're privileged to step back from their years of Poel Yodov, their Neki Chapayim years. But this is an opportunity then. This is not, should be time to be spent on beach fronts in the deck chairs. One can become a Moshe Rabbeinu at that age as well. Perek Zayin, we have Posuk, we have the Dom starting to take effect. And in Posuk Chof Beis, Perek Zayin Posuk Chof Beis, Vayasu Chein Chartumei Mitzrayim Belotein. The magicians of Mitzrayim, they copied Moshe Rabbeinu and they managed to imitate the Makar of Dam. Now, they imitated the Makar of Dam, but it wasn't the real thing. Nevertheless, Vayechezak Lev Paroi V'loi Shom Alev. Paroi's heart was hardened. Big deal. I mean, my magicians, my local men can do the same thing. Now, this is very interesting, because there was no comparison whatsoever. When Moshe and Aaron turned water into blood, this became blood. It smelt like blood, it felt like blood, had the texture of blood, it was blood. Water became blood. The Mitzrim, they couldn't do that. They could turn water into red stuff, but it wasn't blood. It didn't smell like blood and didn't feel like blood. And all the other nisim that Chazal tell us, which happened with the Makar of Dam, the moisture, the sap of trees, was dripping blood. The bricks, one makes bricks, the mortar and the water, out of the brickwork. The moisture, the dampness, there's a lot of dampness in Egypt. The dampness of the paving stones or the brickwork was dripping blood. The ness that the yin, if a Mitzri wanted to buy water off a yid, or if they tried to drink from the same cup without paying for it, well then his side would turn into blood. Where did these Chartumim get water from? There was no water in Mitzrayim. They had to buy it. And nevertheless, Vayechazak Lev Paroi V'loi Shom Alem. I heard once from Dainduna Shlita, he said, you know, if somebody has an agenda, with all the explanations in the world, you will not prove. He'll tell you that day is night and night is day. If he's not interested in seeing the truth, he won't see the truth. The Chartumim have managed to pull off a very poor show in a comparative act. It's got no shaykhus to what the Moshe and Aaron had done. Nevertheless, for Paroi himself, that was enough. The next pasuk, Vayifen Paroi, Paroi turned away, Vayovoi El Beisoi, and he went home. Veloshos Liboi Gam Lozois. Why does the pasuk tell us he went home? Who cares where he went? He turned, Vayifen Paroi, he turned. By the way, in Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says Vayifen, we find in Loshon Chazal means Beis Akisei, Elefanes Sirochov. Vayifen Paroi, he became so nervous, he went out to continue to, remember all this, it was an early morning act this, he went out to do his Sirochim, but that's not for now. Even Lefi, the Poshup Shat Vayifen, that he turned, Paroi turned away. That Paroi turned away. Vayovayel Beisa. What's this expression? He turned away and he went home. Zotas Naim Latoyer Rivzalman Sirotskin. Paroi was afraid of being affected. If he saw much more of this, that which was happening, he felt maybe there was a little, his armor might start to crack. He did a positive act of preventing being mushba. He didn't want to be mushba. So he turned away and he ran home. He locked himself in his house. I don't want to know anything about this. How far this can lead. In fact, even a bit earlier on, in Posuk Tes, we have Perek Zayin Posuk Tes. Ki yedav eleichem Paroi leimoir. Now leimoir, we know, always means to say to others. Vaydab Hashem al Moshe Leimoy in Yiddish was always azoy tzu zogen, to say over to others. So what's going on over here? Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron, ki yedabe aleichem Paroi Leimoy tenu lochem moifes. Paroi will say to you, saying, give us a moif. Who's he going to say this to? Paroi, ki yedabe aleichem Paroi. Paroi will say to you, give us a sign. What's the lemur? The Erechaim HaKodesh is very disturbed about this. The Al-Sheikh says, the Taich is over here, Hashem's warning Moshe and Aaron from the very beginning. Paroi wants to talk. He doesn't want to do. Ki, he's not interested. What? He says, give me a sign and then I'll see if you're telling the truth. Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron right from the beginning, ki yedabe aleichem Paroi leimoir. Paroi only wants to see anything, it's only to say it over, And in fact, the next words are Tenu lochem moifes. What's give for yourselves a moifes? The Malbim says Tenu lochem moifes. Give for yourself, not for me. I'm not going to be impressed anyway. Paris is putting up the guards. He's closing the shutters. Give for yourself a sign. Me, this will not impact at all. Even more powerful is Rav Shalom Shvadron a bit later on at the Makke of Devet in Perek Tes Posuk Zayin. Hey, this is phenomenal. All the Mitzrim animals have died. All the Yiddish people's animals are alive. Now here already in Perek Tes Posuk Zayin Vayishlach Paroi. Paroi already set out on a reconnaissance mission. He already, Vayishlach Paroi, he wants to make an inquiry. There's going to be a state inquiry into this one. V'hine, lo imeis mimekni Yisrael ad echod. It's taka true. Vayichbad leif Paroi. What's the poshut pshat in this pasuk? He sends for an inquiry. The statisticians come back and they put the facts on the table. V'hine lo imeis mimikne Yisrael ad echod. It's taka true. And Vayishlach Paroi. What's the poshut pshat in this pasuk? So the Ibn Ezra, the Siparnot, they say Enochanama loimeis ad echod means the same. Not one of them died, and Enochanama Paroi's hardening of his heart was taka like that. The Medrash Tanchuma is based on an interesting diuk. In posuk vov, the posuk says umimikne v'nei Yisrael loimeis echod. The facts on the ground were umimikne v'nei Yisrael loimeis echod. In Pasuk Zayin, Vayishlach Paroi, V'hine lo meis mimikne Yisrael, Ad Echod. What happened between Pasuk Vov and Pasuk Zayin? Zok the Medrash Tanchuma. Paroi sent out on Vayishlach to find out, and he found an animal which was a shutfus. It was half Jew and half Mitzri. And that animal didn't die. Oh, says Paroi, now the whole Makkah is opgefrecht. Why? Because I found one animal which had a part Jewish ownership. And that's already, that means the whole Siman of Moshe Rabbeinu. How far can a person go? You have the facts staring you in the face. You've gone to find out even. It's not a secret for us that statisticians can present statistics and twist them and read them whichever way they want. But if somebody at Paroi has an agenda over here, he's not interested in being swayed, however blatant the facts are. Rav Shalom brings a maisa which happened in the advanced years of the Heiliger Chofetz Chaim in Radin. There was a group of Pirkei Oil Le'Aleinu. They were called Poyalei Tzion. And they had very powerful editors. They produced a paper. One night, a group of the yeshiva bochrim, as bochrim sometimes do exciting things, they broke into the offices of the Poyalei Tzion. They stole the whole stash of the next day's papers. They took them off to the yeshiva and threw them into the oven. Unfortunately, they were amateur ganovim, and they left the paper trail, mind the pun. And the next morning, the Poyalei Tzion guys woke up and they followed the trail and they found the burnt ashes in the oven. So they vent their fury, a group of them, and they burst into the house of the Heiliger Rosh Yeshiva, the Heiliger Chofetz Chaim, and they started shouting at him. Standing there, one of the main shouters went absolutely crazy. He went crazy, his eyes started rolling, he started doing crazy things, he started shouting, and he actually ran out of the house, and he went shouting through the streets, and he jumped into the river, and he drowned himself. The next day, they had some cohorts in Warsaw, in Warsaw, and they had a newspaper called The Haint. The Haint, today's The Haint. And that day's article, they had the leading editorial, they had a big question. The Chofetz Chaim is world famous for his Avas Yisrael. Chofetz Chaim loves everybody. He wrote Shmira Samosh, he wrote Chofetz Chaim, he wrote Avas Chesed. How could it be that the Chofetz Chaim could curse somebody like that? Said Reb Sholem, I mean, you have the facts staring at you in the face, yeah? You break into the house of the Gadol HaDor, you abuse him, you shout to him. The guy goes crazy, and he ends up jumping into the river. But no, they have a totally different slant on the story all of a sudden. And they say the Chofetz Chaim cursed him. When the Chofetz Chaim actually heard about it, he wrote a response, and he felt it necessary to write that you should know, I have never in my life cursed anybody, whatever they did to me. I've never cursed anybody. But, says Reb Sholem, a person has to be prepared to change. If somebody is not prepared to allow themselves to be mushpa, then all the nisim geluyim in the world will not change them. Jumping a little bit towards the end of the, right at the end of the parasha, I'd like to share a vot. The first time I heard, first time I saw it, I was pointed to this by Rav Moshe Kupitz, Zichron Livracha, should be Le'ilui Nishmosoi. The end of the parasha, we have the Makkah Barod. The hailstones were crushing and crashing. And Paro calls Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, Daven for me. In Posuk Chof Tes and Posuk Lamed, Vayoymei Lov Moshe. Moshe says to Paro, when I leave the city, I will daven. Posuk Lamed Gimel, Vayetze Moshe Mein Paro Yisoi. Paro leaves the city and he davens. Moshe leaves the city and he davens. Now, in between, we have two interesting psukim, Posuk Lamed Aleph and Posuk Lamed Beis, which the Rishonim are very bothered about. Hapishtov asoira nukoso. The flax and the barley, they were smitten. Ki asoira oviv, because the barley was well grown. Vapishtov givoil, and the flax was stalks. Vachitov akusemis loinuku, but the wheat and the cotton were not smitten. Ki afiles heino, because they are late developers. Frekt, the Ramban brings, Reb Sadjagon was already bothered about the position of these two psukim. This is talking about the effects of the borod. Either this should be before Paro calls Moshe Rabbeinu, or this should be as a summary when the Makkah is finished. Again, in Posuk Choftes and Posuk Lamed, we have Moshe Rabbeinu talking to Paro. In Posuk Lamed Gimel, we have Moshe Rabbeinu davening after he's left Paro. How do these two psukim, Posuk Lamed Aleph and Posuk Lamed Beis, where do they come in over here? Reb Sadjagon's pshat is that this was to show, this Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to Paro, and this was to show that even though he hadn't actually seen it, and even though it hadn't actually stopped, and even though it hadn't, that part, the Makkah wasn't over yet, nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu was putting the facts on the table. This is not just a weather report of current affairs. This is a summary of what the whole Makkah is going to be. This is what the Makkah is. The Ramban doesn't like this pshat of the Hiliger of Sadjagon. Use a very sharp loshin, vainly tam bepirish hazeh. And the Ramban has his own pshat. The Ramban's pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu is warning Paro. Even though apishtov asoira nukoso, don't think the Ribbono Shel'Olam is done and dusted with you. I'm warning you, if you continue to misbehave, hachitov akusam is loinuku, the Ribbono Shel'Olam can do even more. In the Sefer Kumetz HaMincha, the Kumetz HaMincha was a gon, Reb Chanoich Ehrentroy, Zeicher Tzadik Livrocha, the Rov of Munich for 40 years, the Zeda of the Heintiger Dain Chanoich, so Zayin Gesund. He has an unbelievable, a gewaldiger, gewaldiger pshat, that which is going on over here. One of the elementary of physics, if an invincible force meets an immovable item, it smashes. Basics of physics. An invincible force meets an immovable item, it will break. The first generation or two of cars were built based on the premise that the stronger the better. A strong, robust car, that is the safest. If I'm not mistaken, the first car in practice to implement the crumple zone technology was the Mercedes at the end of the 50s. Now, the crumple zone technology has saved people's lives. What's the side of the crumple zone? That when on impact, instead of standing firm, if you crumple, you absorb the blow. It's in fact the first lesson in martial arts. It's called to absorb the blow. Go with the punch. If you can't block a punch, don't try and stand there rock hard. It'll hurt. Go with the punch and absorb the blow, and it won't hurt as much. Rashi tells us, Chazal told, the Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to Paro with derech eretz, and which Moshe Rabbeinu did. And the Gemara tells us in Tanis, Daf Chof Omed Aleph, Tonu Rabbonon, Le'oilom Yehei Odom Rach Kekone, Va'al Yehei Kosher Ke'erez. This is a tip for life. Be soft like a reed. Do not be tough like a cedar tree. Zok the Koimitz HaMincha. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Paro. This is not a weather report. This is not a current affairs editor. This is a part of Moshe Rabbeinu's drosha to Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Paro, Paro, look out of the window. Look what's happened. Ha'pishtov asoironu koso. The flax and the wheat were smitten. Why were they smitten? Because they were tough. If you want to be tough, you'll break. Ha'chitov akusem is loinuku. Do you know why? Ki afilo isena. They were not developed. They soft. They bent. When the hailstones came down, they bent. They took the message and they bent. It says Moshe Rabbeinu to Paroi. Paroi le'olam ye adam rach kekane valye koshe kebarzel. You are facing an invincible force. And if you are going to be an immovable item, you will smash. And this is, of course, a very, very important limud. We have to constantly remind ourselves. It's not vaccines and it's not boosters that will take us out of this matzav. It's only when we develop and read the writing on the wall and we start becoming rach kekone, instead of being diehards with our various shitters and forceful with our opinions, it's time to rethink. Maybe in some areas, each and every one of us has to be a bit softer. We have to start bending a little bit more, maybe. We have, very briefly, it's well known, many people say over, I was told as a child, the Makor is actually a Medrash HaGodol in this week's parasha, that when a person is born, he's given an allotted number of words. A lot of people say this. It's actually a Medrash HaGodol on this week's parasha. It's in Perek Ches, Pasuk Tes, where the Pasuk says, Perek Zayin, when Perek Zayin Pasuk Tes, Ki Yadaber Aleichem Paro Lemoi. The Medrash HaGodol says over there that when a person is born, he is allotted a number of words to say. Reishis Chochma is Shaar Kedusha. He writes that we have two ears, we have two eyes, we have two nostrils. We have only one mouth with two guards on that one mouth. Because a person should be thinking, weighing up carefully what we say. The mouth is very powerful. There is a concept of a person abusing, using up his allotted words. I met a Yid this week, a Ger Chassid, who was born in Bnei Brak. He got married in Stamford Hill, and he didn't know a word of Yiddish. He grew up with Ivrit. He didn't know not a word of Yiddish or a word of English. He said his Shana Rishona was Gan Eden. The Kemat didn't speak. What happened? He said he thought 20 times before putting a sentence together. Because he didn't know. He married in Stafford Hill, not Yiddish and not English. So he thought 20 times before opening his mouth. and he's married nearly 20 years, and he still thinks more than 20 times before opening his mouth. Very, very special yid. He's an extremely successful businessman, a large property developer, and he's not a man of words. He weighs immeasurably. Very, very important, very valuable yisurius I had from meeting this yid. We should be zeicher, learn these lessons. We're not going to be diehards. We're not going to be immovables. We're going to be soft. We're going to bend the mitzvah Hashem. We should be zeicher to see all these nisim happening b'mheira v'yameinu.